Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, before we get to the beloved physician Luke in Colossians 4:14, we still have a few things that we'd like to say about Epaphras in verses 12 and 13. You remember that we are coming to the very end of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, and as in a number of his epistles, we find a listing of, well, many, many names, co-workers, Christians that he has a personal relationship with, that he either wants to greet or wants to send greetings from. There are a lot of different relationships and communications that are going on here. But all of these are very instructive because they remind us of the number of people who were involved in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And we realize that his enormous fruitfulness, from a human standpoint, was not attributable to himself alone. All fruitfulness, of course, is attributable to the work of the Holy Spirit, who was sovereign in his operations, but we recognize that God normally uses human instruments, and we see in the Apostle Paul an example of an incredible laborer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think we put all of the focus upon Paul, but Paul would like for us to put some of the focus, maybe the majority of the focus, upon that great host of partners in ministry who came alongside to help him, some for short periods of time, others for extended periods of time. But those who were involved with him in the work of the gospel and therefore need to be recognized for what they did by the grace of God. And so that's where we are on this Tuesday, August 1. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for helping us financially, as otherwise we could not continue this radio ministry. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Epaphras. Now, who was he? A Gentile from the town of Colossae, who came into contact with the Apostle Paul, probably in the city of Ephesus. He became a faithful evangelist, and was subsequently a messenger of the Colossian church to Paul. Of course, only after the Colossian church became a church, when it was founded, from a human standpoint, from the labors of this very man, Epaphras, who evangelized in his hometown. He is now in Rome, away from Colossae. He's joined Paul in his house arrest in Rome, and he is there, no doubt, to minister to Paul, to encourage him, and to help him in any way that he can, but he's also there to communicate with Paul, reporting on the welfare of the church in Colossae, and probably the one in Laodicea as well, to obtain counsel from Paul regarding the needs of the church and the work of the ministry. But the question now before us, and the only one that we have not yet really explored, is what is he doing in Rome specifically? Beyond conferring with Paul in Rome, which he obviously is doing, what is he doing? And we read about it a moment ago in the text in Colossians 4, 12 and 13, but what we learn is that he was laboring for Colossae in Rome. Now that's an interesting concept, isn't it? He is laboring for you. That's what he says. If you go back and look at what we read a moment ago, always laboring fervently for you. Paul says to the Colossians of Epaphras, who is with him in Rome, and Paul is writing to Colossae, and he is reporting to them on the activities of their beloved Epaphras, who was the founder of the church in their city. And Paul says, he is always laboring for you. Well, how can he labor for them when he is hundreds of miles away in Rome? And the answer is also found in the text that I just read, and it is, he is doing so by means of prayer. Again, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. There it is. We don't appreciate, I'm afraid, the labor of prayer as much as we should. But Paul did. And Paul told the Colossians that Epaphras was laboring for them in prayers. When he was with them, he was probably also laboring for them in prayers, but he was also, and maybe more conspicuously, laboring for them in the preaching of the gospel and evangelizing in their city and perhaps visiting their sick and doing what he could to encourage the church. And they could see these more visible manifestations of his laboring on their behalf. But now he's hundreds of miles away in Rome. We're waiting for him to come back so he can labor on our behalf again, maybe they would say, and Paul would say, wrong. He's laboring on your behalf now in prayers, and that may be the most important labor that he ever does. This is labor born out of deep concern. We read in verse 13, "For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis." A great zeal. Another translation says a deep concern. And how did he manifest his concern? How did he express his concern? He did so by taking those concerns to the Lord in prayer. And so here's prayer born out of deep concern. Here's prayer exercised in fervent labor, as Paul says in verse 12, laboring fervently for you in prayer. A word that literally could be translated wrestling. He is wrestling for you fervently in prayers. Now that's not an unusual word in Christian vocabulary to describe prayer. Primarily, I think, because of the account of Jacob in the Old Testament who wrestled with that unknown angel who turned out to be the Lord himself in prayer all night. He wrestled with him, and That's a picture of prayer. That's an illustration of prayer, but different from what we do, because we don't literally wrestle with the body of another person as Jacob did. But he did, and he prevailed, as you recall, in prayer. And that's the analogy that we pick up and often use this language of wrestling with God in prayer and prevailing with God in prayer. And lo and behold, that turns out to be the language of the New Testament as well. That's exactly what Paul is saying in verse 12. Epaphras greets you, always wrestling fervently for you in prayers. But again, the question might be, what is he praying for? In what way is he laboring for them? What is he doing in this hard work? Wrestling certainly describes hard work. And prayer properly done needs to be understood as hard work, and it is for a number of reasons. But what is he doing as he's praying for them? Is he praying that they might regain better health? Does he have a prayer list of sick folks that he's praying for, as we so often do in our churches? And yes, we do that in our church as well. I'm not saying that's inappropriate, but again, I call your attention to what Paul says about Epaphras. always laboring fervent for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. His prayer was focused primarily upon their spiritual development, not their physical development or their physical health and well-being. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, or that you may, another way to translate it would be, may be fully assured in all the will of God. He's praying that they would stand perfect, that they would be complete, that they would grow in conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God is doing in our lives, conforming us unto the image of Christ, according to Romans chapter 8. And that being the case, Epaphras is praying that that's what the Lord would do in the lives of his brothers and sisters in Christ in the church of Colossae. He's praying that they would find greater conformity to the image of Christ by, and this is the key, by greater conformity to the revealed will of God. How do we come into greater conformity to Christ? It's not a magical thing, and it's not a mystical matter. It's a matter of allowing God's Word to increasingly shape our thoughts and actions. It's as simple as that. We become more greatly conformed to the image of Christ as we come into greater and greater conformity to the revealed will of God found in the Bible. So what is he doing? He's conferring with Paul in Rome. What is he doing? He is laboring for the Colossians in Rome. Or maybe I should say he's laboring for the Colossians from Rome. And number three, he is pursuing the office of evangelist. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. He carried a deep burden for the cities of the Lycus Valley, these three cities that are named Colossae, Laodicea, Hierapolis. We are most familiar with Colossae because there is an epistle that bears that name. We are a little bit less familiar, but nevertheless are aware of the city of Laodicea because that city and that church comes up in one of Paul's epistles as he mentions a letter that goes to Laodicea or the letter that went to Laodicea, and it needs to be read in your church as well. And also because we study the seven churches of the book of Revelation, one of them is Laodicea. And there, some 30 or so years after Paul wrote the epistle to the Colossians, the church at Laodicea does not have a very good description in the book of Revelation. It's not in very good spiritual health. But those are the three cities of the Lycus Valley that Epaphras evangelized and saw churches established in two of them. And so he's exercising the gift of an evangelist by the gifts that were given to him by Christ, by the empowering of that office that was given to him by Christ. But what made him effective in that work? First, his burden for the souls of men. May God increase our burden. Second, his commitment to gospel proclamation. May God increase our labors in the proclamation of the gospel. But third, and what we see most specifically in the text here, his faithfulness in the labor of prayer. That's what made him effective. And it may be the absence of that last ingredient that tends to make so many of our labors not so effective. We may be evangelizing, we may have a burden, but if we're not carrying that burden before the throne of grace in prayer, then we're not going to be as effective. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.